Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Lawnview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Well, many of you know Pastor Mickey and I well enough to know that you've heard me tell stories that when I was a kid, that I was in marching band. Who here was in marching band when they were in school? We got several people around here. Marching band, got a couple in the back there. I was in marching band, and at that time when I was in marching band, it seemed like a major league sport to me, from my perspective. We had a very talented group of young people, and one year in my marching band, we won more than 70 trophies. We were on the grand champion at the state fair. We won the grand champion at the Festival of Bands at Ohio State. We won all these different band contests, and it was amazing. But I think that, you know, we had this table for of the trophies that we won, and they had to get another table, and then they had to get another table, because we were so successful. It was really hard work that year, that particular year, but I can tell you it was a blast. And I reflect back on those days. That particular year when I was in marching band, out of all 4 years, I remember very vividly. I don't remember the others as well because we didn't do as well, but that particular year was awesome. And as I reflect back on those glory days, as I reflect back, there really were three things that allowed us to be successful that year and bring home all those trophies. There were three things that helped us gel as an ensemble. There were three things that helped us make beautiful music together. There were three things that really helped us bring home all those trophies. First, we had to keep in step. We had to keep in step. That was critical to our success. We all had to stay in step. We all had to stay together. And getting 150 kids to stay together doing anything is a huge, monumental task. If the teachers out there can give us an amen and a hallelujah, you understand that. So we had to keep in step. We all had to keep in step if we had any chance of success. And if just one person got out of step, it could have a domino effect and just ruin the whole thing. So the second thing that we had to do in order to be a championship marching band, we had to memorize our music. We had to memorize our music. Some marching bands, they don't do this. Some marching bands, they allow you to have the lyre and the music on the lyre on the instrument. But we didn't do that. We had to memorize the notes. We had to memorize the whole thing. If you did not memorize just the music, but also the phasing and the intonation and the dynamics, you didn't get to march. If you didn't memorize your music, not just the notes, but the musicality behind the music, you got tested every week and you weren't allowed to march if you didn't memorize the music. Third thing, so you had to stay in step, you had to memorize your music. It was critical that every member of the band stay focused on the field commander. Every member of the band, you had to keep your eyes on the field commander. This person is the most important person on the field for a marching band, that field commander. That's the person who leads the band onto the field. It's the person that stands on that ladder on the 50-yard line and, you know, does the, you know, the symphony conductor stuff. And it's such an important role that some bands actually have two or three field commanders so that the marching band members can see the field commander wherever they're at on the field. Sometimes there's one all the way on the other side of the field, right, Jeff Inger? Sometimes you've got a couple off to the 45-yard lines, off of the center of the field, just so that every person on the field, whether they were marching that way or that way or that way or this way, they were able to stay in sight with the field commander and they were able to stay on beat. Watching the field commander allowed you to keep in step so that you could play your music by memory and so that everything would work out. So keep in step, right? Memorize your music and keep your eye on the field commander. Today I want to talk to you about, I want to talk to you about these three things and how these three things can help us take stronger ownership of our faith. That's what we've been talking about. We've been studying the Old Testament book of Joshua to guide us through the Lenten season, and we are focused on things that we can do to own our faith. You've got to own your faith. I was talking to my mother-in-law this week, and she's like, Joshua is such a violent book. I read the whole thing. I'm like, yeah, it is. It's kind of one of those not for children type of stories in some of the chapters in that particular book. But it's got a lot to teach us as followers of Jesus today. Very appropriate for Lenten season. And one of the things we've been talking about is it is one thing to say you believe. It's one thing to say, oh, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. But it's another thing. It is imperative to actually own our faith, to make it personal, to make it ours, right? I've got these great shoes. These are my shoes. They're not yours. You may have a pair like them, but these are my shoes. And our faith is like a pair of shoes. We've got to be able to put it on. It's got to fit. And we got to be able to walk in those shoes everywhere we go. So that means we need to make our faith our own. In the first week we studied Joshua, we talked about how that means owning all of the faith that we should have that the Bible teaches us. We don't get to pick bits and pieces of the Bible out and obey the pieces that we like and ignore the parts that we don't like. We're going to be held accountable for all of God's teachings and all of what God requires of us to be people of love, to be people of holiness, to be people of righteousness. It means owning all of it. It also means, like we talked about last week, putting our faith in action. Remember the two spies last week? They had to get out of their comfort zone. And Rahab had to stand up for what was right within her comfort zone. She had to put her faith in action. The spies had to put their faith in action in order to own their faith. So in the story of Joshua, just to set the context, the nation of Israel is going through this process. What we really see over the many chapters of this sometimes violent and scary kind of book, scary kind of story, what we see is the nation of Israel going through the process of taking ownership of their faith. Taking ownership of their faith. In Joshua chapter 3, that's where we find ourselves this week. Don't know if you've read that at all this week. Joshua chapter 3, the people of Israel, for the past several weeks, they have been sitting on the edge of the east side of the Jordan River. And the promised land, the land promised to Abraham, the land of Canaan, the land of milk and honey, is within shouting distance. Right across the river, they can see it with their own eyes. This moment for them has been 40 years in the making. 40 years. It's been 40 years since their parents were delivered from the bondage of slavery in Egypt. It's been 40 years since the legendary crossing of the Red Sea by the nation of Israel. When Moses raised his staff up and the waters parted ways and the entire nation of Israel walked across the Red Sea, allowing the people to escape the clutches of Pharaoh's chariots and Pharaoh's soldiers. But before they cross the river now, before they cross the Jordan now, Joshua knows that it is critical for the people to prepare. Before they cross over the Jordan and enter into the land of milk and honey, before they cross over the Jordan, and by the way, any bridges out there? Not seeing any bridges out there anywhere. Before they cross over, they must prepare. And in Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, Joshua delivers really a one-sentence sermon. Who's all for a one-sentence sermon, right? Pastor. TikTok. Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, one-sentence sermon. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. The nation of Israel is within shouting distance of the promised land, but before they cross, preparation is paramount to their success, because Joshua knows that consecration precedes the fulfillment of the promise. Write that down somewhere. Consecration precedes the fulfillment of the promise. The people had been delivered from the clutches of slavery, but they had yet to realize the fulfillment of the promise. 40 years wandering around in the desert until we're ready, folks, to consecrate ourselves unto God. We're never going to be able to experience the fulfillment of the promise. Consecration precedes the fulfillment of the promise. You see, if we hold back in our spiritual lives, God's going to hold back in giving to us. But if we give our all, God is going to give us his all. That is a principle at work in our spiritual walks. If we're holding back anything in our lives, anything in our hearts, and expecting to be filled and sanctified by the power of the Holy Spirit, we're going to be waiting a long time. It's only until we fully surrender everything in our heart, every attitude, every dream, every person that we love. If we give that all to God, he is going to give all of himself to his people. Amen? That's the way it works. That's the way it works. This is the lesson that the nation of Israel is learning here. The nation of Israel, you know, they had been delivered from slavery, but they had been found guilty of holding back on God. They had been guilty of holding back on God, and because they were holding back on God, they were finding themselves wandering around in the desert, not for one, not for two, not for 10, but for 40 years of their lives. But here we are now, Joshua chapter 3. The people had learned their lesson. They really had. They've learned their lesson. And now they're looking across the Jordan with their own two eyes at the promised land, the fulfillment of the promise. So what does it mean to consecrate ourselves? Because that's a big churchy word. Consecration is a big churchy word that can be confusing. We're going to talk about this morning. What does it mean? What does it look like for us to give our all to God so that God can give his all to us? What does it mean? First of all, consecration means getting in step with God. Just like the marching band, it means getting in step with God. Getting in step with God and staying in step with God takes some effort on our part. It takes a little bit of intentionality. It takes a little bit of effort on our part. It means getting rid of, staying in step with God. It means getting rid of anything that may distract us from the Father's will in our lives. Getting in step and staying in step with God means getting rid of anything out of step with God's will in our lives. So it makes me ask the question, are there things in our lives that we have allowed to creep in over this past year in the midst of COVID-19, in the midst of coronavirus? Are there any things in our lives that we've begun to tolerate that are out of step with God's will? Are there things in our lives that we really don't want to give up? We really don't want to give up, so we are holding them back. Nobody else knows about it, but this is something that happens in our hearts. Is there anything in our heart that the Lord's been talking about to us saying, you really need to surrender that? You really need to give that up. But we just are kind of like, no, I'll take care of that over here in the back of my heart. Nobody else knows that this stuff is going on in our life. God knows. His Holy Spirit knows. This is the conversation that we're happy with him. This is us wandering around in the desert, wondering when we're ever going to receive the fulfillment of the promise. Is there anything we're tolerating that's out of step with God? Is there anything we're resisting on giving up to him? Things that we're holding back so that we can receive the fullness of the promise. Remember, if we hold back, God is going to hold back too. So we've got to stay in step with God. That's what consecration looks like. Second, consecration means committing God's plan to memory. We got to memorize the music. Consecration means committing God's plan to memory. And I'm not simply talking about memorizing Bible verses. That's part of it. I think Bible quizzing was one of the most influential and effective things that I ever did when I was a young person and a teenager. And I'm so glad we have people like Diana Stanley who have a passion to get our kids involved in Bible quizzing. That is formative, and it will stick with those kids for the rest of their lives. But it's more than just memorizing the scriptures. Memorization at its core is simply about remembering. You know, it was kind of weird coming into church this morning. I almost forgot what it was like, right? But it's nice to remember, and as we sit here and as we worship together, the memories are coming back of how God has been faithful in our lives in the past. Memorization, memorizing the music when it comes to our walk with God is about memorizing. It's about remembering. There is a rhythm to God's righteousness. Think about that. There is a rhythm to God's righteousness. We find ourselves getting in sync, I think, with this rhythm when we take the time to revisit and remember God's past faithfulness in our lives. There is a rhythm to his righteousness. There is a rhythm to his holiness. There's a groove. We think about all these different styles of music. God is the creator of all music, so I think God is a fan of all music. I think when we get to heaven, there's going to be a little hip-hop. There's going to be a little reggae. There's going to be a little bluegrass. There's going to be a little country. There's going to be a little rock and roll. There's going to be a little easy listening. Whatever kind of music you like, you're going to get tons of it in heaven, and it's all going to line up with the rhythm of the righteousness of the Father. Right. Songs, when we sing them, they remind us of feelings and emotions and experiences. And there's something about music that strikes a chord with our souls. And so we need to memorize the rhythm of God's righteousness. We need to revisit and remember God's faithfulness in the past in our lives. And it doesn't mean you have to be a songwriter, but we should be going through the process of intentionally remembering and revisiting the rhythm of God's righteousness and his faithfulness in our lives in the days past. Because as we remember and as we get into the groove with God's righteousness, it will give us the confidence and the courage to move forward into that which God is calling us. Do you hear what I'm saying? There's confidence in memorizing God's rhythm because it helps us when we face obstacles. It helps us when we face challenges, and it gives us that confidence and that courage. Be strong and courageous. Remember that? It gives us courage. When we have God's rhythm of righteousness memorized in our lives so that it is second nature, it will give us confidence to step into the future and to take ownership of our faith in new and powerful ways. Consecration means getting in step with God. Consecration means getting into the right groove with God. Are you in the groove with God, friend? Or are you ad-libbing your life? Because what happened in the desert, the Israelites were ad-libbing. They were ad-libbing. They were out of step with God. They were playing their own music, and they were lost, baby. They didn't know where they were going. By the way, where they were at when they received the Ten Commandments and where they needed to go to get where they were at in Joshua chapter 3, an 11 days walk. 40 years later, they're not in rhythm with God. They had not, but now something's happening. Something's happening. The nation of Israel, they're finally coming to their senses. This Lenten season is a time to take inventory. take inventory of God's faithfulness in your life. I know it hasn't been all peaches and cream in the past year, and some of you have had really hard stories over the past decade, but God has been faithful through it all. God is faithful. Take time to take inventory of God's faithfulness in your own past. It will give you confidence to face the future that God is pulling you and pointing you to. Consecration means getting in step. It means committing God's faithfulness to memory. And third, consecration means keep your eye on the field commander. Keep your eye on the field commander. In order for the plan to cross the Jordan to work, the people had to keep their eye on the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the Ark of the Covenant was the vessel. You've all seen Raiders of the Lost Ark, I'm sure. The Ark of the Covenant was this vessel that the Spirit of God resided in for the people of Israel. And they revered this. And when they set up camp, they set up the tabernacle, the tent of the tabernacle means tent. They set up the tent in the desert, and in the middle of the desert, they set up the ark in the Holy of Holies. It was the central point. At that point in time, it was the intersection of where heaven met earth. The Ark of the Covenant, the home of the Spirit of God. And in order for them to be successful in this journey across the Jordan, any bridges? Not seeing any bridges. Several hundred yards across. Keep your eye on the field commander. Keep your eye on the Ark of the Covenant. Joshua, he orders, in Joshua chapter 3, if you read it, he orders the priests to carry the Ark into the water, into the flood stage waters of the Jordan River. And he ordered the people, watch the Ark. And I think they're all probably thinking, watch it sink. How am I going to see it if it sinks into the water? Right? But because the priests were in step with the Lord, the priests had gotten it. The priests were in step with God, and because they were confidently proceeding in God's righteous rhythm, they were following God's plan. As soon as they stepped into those flood stage raging waters of the Jordan River, something amazing happened. Joshua chapter 3, we pick it up in verse 14. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, where's the bridge? When the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests went ahead of them. The priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage. That's what Scripture says. All during the harvest. Yet as soon as the priest who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. The water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of Araba, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground right in the middle of the Jordan River, while all of Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Pretty amazing things are going to happen tomorrow. I would say, we checked the box today, Joshua. Something amazing just happened. These people had, remember, these people, these are the children of the people who were delivered from Egypt and had crossed the Red Sea. These people now crossing had heard about the legend of the crossing of the Red Sea. And now, in step with God, the story of his faithfulness and righteousness memorized, their eye on the field commander, they were experiencing their very own Red Sea moment. Wasn't a story. Wasn't a memory, wasn't a legend. Do you see how they're owning their faith? Here they're doing it themselves. I can barely stay seated while I think about it and while I talk about it. They're no longer reliving or retelling or recalling God's faithfulness in the life of somebody else that they know. They're living it out themselves. God is being faithful to them as they are heart in step, in rhythm, keeping their eye on the ark, taking ownership, personal ownership, and crossing over into the fulfillment of the promise. It's happening to them. Church, are we keeping our eye on the field commander? Are we keeping our eye on the field commander, or are we marching to the beat of a different drummer? There's a lot of different drum beats out there today. There's a lot of noise out in the world that can distract us from keeping our eye on the field commander. Are we committed to doing it God's way? Or are we off in our own little corner crooning, "I did it my way"? Because if that's our current status, doing it our way, beat of our own drummer, it might explain why we find ourselves delivered from sin, but falling short of the fulfillment of God's promise and God's full holiness in our lives. Maybe one of the reasons the church in 2021 in America is so anemic these days is that we've traded our focus on the field commander, on God, for a focus on other things that promise deliverance and fulfillment, but they just can't do it. They can't live up to the promise. Church, what is keeping us from going deeper with the Father? Are we in step with God, or are we out of step with the Lord? What is keeping us? What is keeping us from receiving all God wants to give us? What is keeping us from receiving all that God, you know, God wants to pour out His Holy Spirit in abundance on His people. And we are the ones that have our hands on the faucet. He's not going to force Himself on you. He wants to pour out everything in your life. Have we failed to memorize the rhythm of His righteousness? Have we decided to invest in listening to other songs, memorizing other music, following other beats? What's keeping us from experiencing a fresh and powerful outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives? Are our eyes fixed on Jesus on the cross? Jesus, the author and perfecter of our salvation? Hebrews chapter 12, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your salvation. Are our eyes fixed on the field commander, fixed on the cross, or have we become fixated with other things? Things that simply do not have the ability to deliver and fulfill what we really crave in our hearts and in our lives. I'm still a fan of marching band competitions. I love marching band. I love Drum Corps International. Most bands, I think, have talent. They have the talent. They have the potential to be good, if not exceptional. Good enough to win trophies. I really believe that. I think, you know, the potential's out there. But the three simple things we've been talking about this morning often separate the exceptional marching bands from the mediocre ones. One thing that I've learned from my own experience in that band that won all those trophies back in 1984, all those grand champions, multiple tables, brought home the bacon, brought home the gold. We wanted it. There was something special about that group of kids. We wanted it. We were hungry for it. And we were so hungry, we wanted it so bad that we were all unified. We were dedicating to doing what it took to win. We were in. We were all in. The people of Israel wandered around the desert for 40 years until they were ready, until their hearts were ready to receive the fulfillment of God's promise. And at this point in time, in Joshua chapter 3, they are hungry. They want it. They've gone through some tough times. They're hungry for it, and they are willing. They are finally willing to do what it takes to move from simply being delivered into the fulfillment of God's complete promise for their lives. And they were ready to do what it was going to take to get the prize. And it makes me wonder. It just makes me wonder whether you're here in person, whether you're out there online this morning. It makes me wonder, how hungry are we for the actual fulfillment of God's promise in our hearts and in our lives? How much do we really want it? Are we willing to do what it takes to attain it? Or are we satisfied with mediocrity? Have we become numb to mediocrity? Have we become satisfied with just the mediocre in our lives? Are we satisfied with simply wandering around in the desert of life looking for things that will fill this craving that we have in our hearts for meaning and justification and love and acceptance? Are we willing for just wandering around? Or do we really want it? In Joshua chapter 3, this generation of the nation of Israel, they finally, 40 years, they finally begin to take ownership of their faith. They're no longer satisfied. As a matter of fact, they put their foot down. They are no longer satisfied to live off of the legacy of their parents and their grandparents. Because remember, we're not riding anybody's coattails into heaven, folks. It's got to be between us personally and God. It's got to be a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. A lot of people will get disappointed when they get to heaven and find out that they're not going to make it in because they were relying on mama's faith or papa's faith or pastor's faith or grandma's faith. It's got to be personal. Don't play the dangerous game. Don't play the dangerous, wicked game of thinking that you're going to be able to ride in on heritage. Because if you try to ride in on heritage, you're going to find yourself hooked into hell. The nation of Israel is tired of wandering. They're hungry for the fulfillment of the promise. They're willing to do what's required. They're knowing it's time. It's time to stop holding back. Stop playing games. Time to go all in with God so they can receive all that God wants to give to them. Are you hungry for more of God? Amen. Are you hungry for more? Are you thirsty for something more in your life? It's time to take ownership of our faith, church. This is what Lent is all about. What a wonderful opportunity. You coming here today is actually part of you taking ownership of your faith. You jumping online with us this morning as I talk into the camera, you just taking this time, you are taking ownership of your faith. God wants to go all in with you. But he won't if you're not willing to go all in with him. It's time to take ownership of our faith. What's holding you back? That's the big question.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.